Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, Michael, for that song selection you've Amen. Made this morning. I want to welcome everybody, especially our visitors. We have a couple with us from Indiana. We're Amen. Glad to have you. If there's any other visitors, we're very glad to have you worship with us here at South Valley. Before we get started, I'd like to mention we had a family here visiting with us from Fresno. They were sitting in your seat.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But they were here last week, and the grandmother handed me a prayer request that one of the young men with them, her grandson, is 23 years old. His name is Taylor Radcliffe. He was just recently diagnosed with leukemia. And so she requested that our congregation pray for them. They're all faithful members of the church. And in her words, paraphrasing, she wanted as many Christians praying for her grandson as possible. Amen. So we will take a moment now. It's in the bulletin. If you would remember Taylor this week in your private prayers. Let's bow. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you first and foremost for all the blessings that you give us. Amen. We ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. Amen. Dear God, right now we come on behalf of Taylor Radcliffe. We pray that our desire is that you strengthen him, be with him, be with the doctors as they treat him for leukemia. Dear God, our desire is that he will get well. Yes. As was mentioned today in Bible class, we always preface our request that give us the strength to adapt ourselves to your will. Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to impose our will on you, let us adapt to yours. Dear God, that is our request. We ask that you strengthen him physically, but also spiritually. Give him and the family comfort at this time, knowing that they are loved by you, by the brethren, and we hope that he will be comforted physically and spiritually. Dear God, we ask that you be with us the rest of our worship to you. We hope everything that has and will be done is done in spirit and in truth. Amen. We pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Have some great news. Leah was baptized yesterday. We have a new sister in Christ. It's many of us have known her since she was literally a baby, a toddler. And we rejoice that we have a new sister in Christ. Let's go ahead and get into our lesson. Many of you will recognize this character. Goes back to the 70s and 80s. It was Peter Falk. He played a character, a detective called Columbo. And one of his phrases was just one more thing. He would just wear down the suspects, and just he just wants to know one more thing. And that one more thing usually turned into quite a few. Well, Jesus, after he died and was resurrected, he just didn't ascend into heaven. He was on earth. He was around his apostles and disciples a number of times to teach them just one more thing.
Amen.
Just one more. And one more before he ascended back to the right hand of his Father. We'll be reading John the 21st chapter. It starts off in verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, who they were James and John, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We're going with you also." They went out immediately, got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, have you any food?" They answered him, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. I find this an interesting passage here. Here are fishermen. That's their profession. And they've been out there all night. If anybody knew how to do it, it should have been Peter and the boys. Jesus asked them, have you caught anything? First of all, he knew they hadn't. But they said no. He says, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat." I wonder what they're thinking. "We're fishermen. Why don't you stick to doing your carpentry work? Why don't you stick to being the Son of God? Why don't you stick to healing people? Fishing's our business, Jesus." But they did it. And they caught so many, they could barely get all those fish in. It goes on to say, "Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It's the Lord.' Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea." Isn't that Peter in a nutshell? In fact, I'm surprised he even put his outer garment on. You know, he's jumping in. He's wanting to get to Jesus. I can swim faster than you can row. I'm getting to Jesus. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits. That is about 300 yards. That's about a football field. I'm not much of a swimmer. I can swim well. I wouldn't want to swim 100 yards. Anyway, Peter dives in and he's at land, and the other disciples are following in the little boat, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have caught." Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Just a little side note. The Apostle John here is so specific. There was 153. This is not a parable. This is not one of Aesop's fables. It's a real event. They just didn't catch some fish. They caught 153 large fish. It's a real event. And the net was not broken. Jesus said to them, "Come and eat breakfast." Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread, and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. What an amazing account this has been. Jesus just didn't conquer death, which was an amazing feat in and of itself. God raised Jesus from the dead, but he proved it to the disciples, to the people that believed. That's where real faith would have had to come in had he not shown himself. He said he was going to be raised after 3 days. Had they not seen him, they would have had to rely totally, totally on faith. But to reinforce that faith, this was the third time he showed himself. So when they had eaten breakfast, and this is where Don read to us today. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." Just one more thing. Before I leave, Peter, I need you to know I still trust you. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine the prodigal son when he said he came to himself, "I'm going to go back home to the Father"? Could you imagine him coming up to the house and instead of the father running to join him and embracing him and putting a robe on him and having a feast? Could you imagine if the father would have, "No, you made your decision, live with it"? Jesus is reassuring Peter. "You messed up. I still have confidence in you. Peter, feed my lambs." He goes on to say, he said to him a second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." Told him to feed them, but not only just feed them, tend my sheep. Tending takes a lot of effort. Feeding, you can just go out and throw some hay out there or whatever sheep eat. You know, I'm not a shepherd. Give them some food, and they're okay. But he says to him, "Tend my sheep." My sheep. I'm giving you responsibility. I'm not always going to be here. In fact, he's getting ready, not too far from here, to ascend back into heaven and sit at the right hand of the Father. All that he's done, the church that he established, back in Matthew, where he said, "Who do men say that I am?" And it was Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, On this rock, that faith, that confession, that proclamation, I will build my church. One. There's one. I'm not always going to be here. You tend my sheep. You take care of them. You feed them. You care for them. Doesn't say it, but like I have. You've seen an example. You do it. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? He was grieved, but one thing you notice, Peter doesn't blurt out, why are you asking me a third time, Jesus? He was smart enough to realize he'd probably have gotten the answer because you needed it three times. Just wanted to make sure because seems like if I remember right, Peter, one of the apostles denied me three times. Let me guess, can you help me out with who that was, Peter? I forgot, in all the confusion, I forgot. You notice Peter doesn't say that, but it bothered him. He's had to ask me this three times. If anybody needed a little extra reminder, it was Peter. His skull was a little thicker than the others. It doesn't say in the scripture, and I don't like to put things in that is not there because we can what if all the time. But a lot of times you see Jesus getting away from the crowd and he took Peter, James, and John. It might have been that he was a little closer to them. There was just that closeness. We know that John is the disciple that Jesus loved. It might have been, I'm expecting more from these guys. It might have been, Peter needs more than he needs extra lessons. I don't know. And it's definitely not scripture. But numerous times when Jesus got away out of the disciples, he took Peter, James, and John with him. Maybe they needed it. Maybe that was just they were closer. Don't know. But Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. Here's that proclamation, kind of a twofold. One, calling him Lord. You're the Christ. It's the same proclamation he said back in Matthew. Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. I love jumping ahead to the writings in Acts where Peter fulfills this. I love jumping ahead to Peter's writings in 1st and 2nd Peter, where Peter later becomes an elder and will literally feed and tend the sheep of Christ. Amen. And he will fulfill that. And Jesus goes on to say, he's telling Peter this, most assuredly, I say to you that when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Mm-hmm. Historically, it's not in scripture, but historically, it is recorded that Peter was crucified. And it was even recorded that he was crucified at his request to be crucified upside down. that he didn't feel worthy to even be crucified the way his Savior was. But Jesus had told him, when you were younger, basically, nobody told you what to do. And that was Peter. No one's going to tell him what to do. You went where you went. You went where you wanted to go. You did what you wanted to do. But when you're older, others are going to take you places that you don't want to go. Peter had Jesus as an example of which to follow. And that's what he's been telling him. Do you love me? If your answer is yes, feed my sheep. Tend to them. And he says, this is the way you're going to die. And he ends up, if that last verse, follow me. Knowing what you know, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one that who betrays you? Peter seeing him, talking about the Apostle John, Peter seeing him said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? He wanted to know about John, one of his fishing partners. Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me, regardless of what others do, regardless of what other people may face. If it's my will that he remains till I come, you still follow me. I told you your end. Does it matter about John? You follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Right there is one of the weapons of the devil. Mm-hmm. It's the same weapon he used in the garden. Misapplying. The saying went out among the brethren. The brethren were being taught, John's not going to die. Jesus never said that. What did he say? If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? If. He did not say, he's not going to die, he'll remain till I come back. He never said that. But the brethren, that was not only that's what they thought, they told others that. And then John, you see the humbleness of John. He writes the Gospel of John in third person, talking about the disciple that Jesus loved. He doesn't come out and say, Jesus loved me best. He never says that. Humbly, he says, this is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. He was an eyewitness. It wasn't hearsay. It's not second or third hand information. Guys, I'm the one that's writing this to you. I was there. I saw it. I was at these events in this gospel. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. These are just one more thing, guys, that Jesus wanted him to know. Just, oh, and by the way, one more thing. Kind of like Columbo, never really finished. Jesus could have stayed around for a long time to explain different things to them. But some of the lessons we can take away, Jesus taught and served to the end. He was still teaching even after he was resurrected. Him dying on the cross wasn't the curtain call. That wasn't the end for him. 3 days later, he rose and still used that time to teach until he went back into heaven. He wants us to know, just like he wanted Peter to know, who hasn't messed up? Which one of us?
Amen.
We've all messed up. But he wants us to know that he loves us and he forgives us. Amen. When we repent. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Applied to Peter too. Peter repented and went on to greater heights than in the Gospels. Jesus wants to know if we love him. Not just lip service. Not just lip service. Jesus said in the book of John, if you love me, keep my commandments. Mm-hmm. Not just lip service. Keep my commandments. Jesus wants his sheep to be fed and tended to. He wants us to be tended to by godly men. That we need to follow Jesus regardless of the cost. He told Peter, let me tell you how you're going to meet your end. Oh, and by the way, follow me. Keep following me, regardless of the cost. We need to worry about ourselves, not about what others do and don't do.
Amen.
When Peter turned around, well, what about this man? Talking about John. What about him? What's going to happen to him? Don't worry about him. You worry about you. What's that phrase that's popular today? You do you. You know, worry about you. You've got enough on your plate just taking care of Peter. Just take care of Peter. Don't worry about everybody else. And we need to study. Was it study to show ourselves approved? A workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We need to study to make sure what the Bible says and doesn't say. Mm-hmm. The saying went out that John would never die. Mm-hmm. But Jesus never said that. And John was very swift to point that out. A false teaching was going out and people were believing it. And John never, don't you know though, that John being the last of the apostles historically to die, don't you know that that just kind of reinforced it? That false teaching, he's not going to die, as they're dropping off one by one, and then he still left. It is true, but it wasn't true. They misunderstood. We need to make sure what the Bible says and what it doesn't say.
Amen.
Lesson is yours. I found John 21 fascinating in my study of it. You've got the outline there. It'd take you just a few minutes to go back and reread it this week. If we can be of service to you, we always like to offer an invitation. Leah answered the call yesterday. That's always there. If there's people here that have not been baptized, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. If you're not baptized, you're not saved.
Amen.
Simple as that. Jesus said, Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. If you disagree with that, someday, and you will get a chance, mm-hmm. take it up with Jesus. And you'll get a chance on Judgment Day, whether to believe it or not. Maybe you need to repent of sin. Maybe you are a member of the church. But there's sin distracting you, causing you not to be the person that you can be. Maybe there's concern and you need prayers. Whatever your need, please come forward while we're led in song, and Don will, or Michael will lead us in the invitation. I was thinking, who's leading singing today? Michael, let's all stand and sing. Michael will lead us.